Thanks to Stephen for inviting us here tonight. This is our last moment of deputation before we take about 2.5 weeks to get everything packed and ready to go to Malawi. We leave on the 30th of October, so the days are counting down. Pamela will give you an exact number whenever she comes up. She's more precise about that kind of thing than I am. I just know it's happening sometime in the future. Girls and boys, it's great to see you here this evening, and I want to take a few minutes to help you understand a little bit about Malawi and what we are going to. So up on the screen in a moment, you're going to see a map of where Malawi is. Now, Malawi is a 24-hour journey away. So you get in a plane in Belfast, and you fly to London, and from London you fly to somewhere in the middle of Africa, normally Kenya, and then you fly another 2 or 3 hours down to the country that's in yellow on the map, Malawi. Now, let me tell you how big Malawi is. It's not as big as some countries, but you can fit the whole island of Ireland into the lake of Malawi. And it takes up one third of the whole country. So it's bigger than anything we know, certainly here on this island. Well, I want to tell you about a little boy called Gideon. There we go. There's Gideon. Gideon there with his sister. And Gideon is a little 7-year-old boy who lives in the country that we are going to live in. Now, Gideon, Liz, is this working or no? Okay. Okay. Gideon lives in a country that speaks a little bit of English, but its main language is Chichewa. So if Gideon was to come in here today or tonight and he was to speak to you, you wouldn't have a clue what he was saying. So just in case there's ever a Malawian comes to Kilkeel, we're going to teach you a few words so that you know what to say to them, so that you can greet them and welcome them to this great town. So the first thing you need to learn to say is, hello, how are you? And you say that by saying, Mulibwanji, Mulibwanji. So everyone, not just the girls and boys, but everyone is going to try this because, of course, you all want to be able to say hello to a Malawian who would come to visit your town. So after three, you would say, 1, 2, 3. Mulibwanji. Very good. So you would say Mulibwanji, and he would reply back, Ndili Bwino. I am fine. So it's Ndili Bwino after three. 1, 2, 3. Ndili Bwino. So if someone comes to you and says, Mulibwanji, you will now know to say Ndili Bwino. And there's one word that never fails. So if you ever go to Malawi, the word is Zikomo. It means thank you. It means anything you want it to mean, really. So it's coming up on the screen. Zikomo. After three, 1, 2, 3. Zikomo. Very good. Now, Pamela and I are going to have to learn Chichewa. We're going to learn it for the whole year, but for the first 2 months, we're going to be like school for 4 hours or so every morning for the first 2 months, November, December, we are going to be learning Chichewa. And then whenever we start work in January, we're going to be learning it a little bit more. But let's get back to Gideon. So now that you know how to say hello to him, well, this is the house that Gideon lives in. Does it look like your house? No, it's slightly different. Gideon's house is made of mud bricks, and then there's mud plastered on the wall to keep it all together. And his roof, well, for starters, he's only got a one-story building. It's like a bungalow, but his roof isn't made of tiles or slates. His roof is made of dried grass, and we call that thatch. You see it in some of the old houses here in Northern Ireland about the place. Now, in Malawi, it's not as fine. It's just the grass is just lumped on top of the roof, and hopefully that's going to be enough to keep the rains off. The next picture is going to show you some of Gideon's friends who he lives next door to him, and he goes to school, to primary school. And you can see where Gideon lives. He lives not beside the sea, but beside a lake. But the lake is so big, it actually looks like the sea because it even has waves and it has a little bit of a tide. And you think you were just at the sea. But Gideon loves spending his time at the seaside or at the beach side so that he can enjoy the water. To be honest, if you go into that water, it's almost like getting into a bath. It is lovely and warm. The next picture is going to show you something about Gideon's dad. because Gideon's dad is a fisherman. But he doesn't go in any of the boats that you would see down in the harbour here, because that's the kind of boat that he goes out and catches his fish in. Now, that's a tree trunk that has just been hollowed out, and you need to get into it very, very tightly so that you can stay in it. And what they do is they go out, one boat and another boat, and each of them have nets, and they throw their nets to the other boat, and they trail them along and then pull them in. And then the fish just go at their feet in the hollowed out tree. And that's what they do at night. And they call it night fishing. And to scare the fish, they'll have other boats that will tap the front of their boat. And that scares the fish into the net. The next slide is the kind of fish that they catch. They're very small little silver fish that they dry and then they eat. Doesn't smell great. To be honest, it doesn't taste great. But you're going to love the next slide that's going to come, because it actually is a movie. Now, I don't know what size of fish you catch here in Kilkeel, but in Malawi, they catch fish the full size of a man. This is a catfish that I found one day in the market. It had just been freshly caught. Now, they don't catch too many of these, and if they can, it goes for a lot of money and it does a lot of meals. So there's lots and lots of fish in the lake in Malawi. Now, the next picture is another wonderful delicacy. I actually have a video. I'm disappointed now, you can't really see it. But it looks almost like there's smoke around these people. It's not smoke, it's flies. And if you see, the ladies have little baskets in their hands, and they go around and they try to catch the flies in their baskets. Not nets, but baskets. And as soon as the basket hits the flies, they all die. And they all just gather in these baskets. Then the ladies will take them home. They'll roll them into little balls. They'll cook them over a fire. And then they'll eat them. Now, the video that I hoped we'd had tonight is actually one of these ladies eating them raw. I have tried it. It is apparently okay. I thought it tasted a wee bit tinny, but you can eat them. I didn't die. I'm still here. But these are all the kind of things that Gideon likes to eat. And the flies come once a year, so everyone is out in the village catching as many flies as they can, because they just love eating these little fly balls that they then cook and eat. And it is a really good night in the village whenever the flies come from the lake. The next picture is going to show you some other local delicacy. We call these mouse on a stick. Have you ever eaten a mouse on a lollipop stick? Maybe a chocolate one. But these are, I was going to say live, no, they're dead mice that have been killed the night before in bushfires, so they will set the countryside on fire and the mice will all die in the heat. All the fur is burned off them, they'll stick them on a stick and they'll sell them for 10p. Now, what sweets today can you buy for 10p? But you'll buy these at the side of the road and it's all your meal in one. It's very good. Well, actually, I've never tasted them, so I don't know if they're good or not. Okay, the next picture is going to show you how Gideon's mum gets her food. We go shopping and we get our bags and we put them in the boots of our cars, but no, she carries them on her head whenever she goes to the market. And that's a little bit of the life that Gideon has. If we move on to the next picture, Gideon has his friends who he likes to play with on the beach. And the next picture is going to show you Gideon's toys. So here's a little toy that Gideon has. It's a toy car. Now, he's made it himself. He's made it out of wire that he's got from different places at different times and little spools for wheels. And he plays with it and he puts a big handle on it so that he can steer it. And that toy will do him for years. And he'll just keep making it bigger and bigger by adding more wire to it. See, everything in Malawi is different for Gideon compared to the life that you may have here. The next picture is something normal. It's school, although it looks slightly different from the schools we know. This is Gideon's classroom and his school pals, and that's where I'm going to be working some of the times to help Gideon learn what it means to follow Jesus. And it's not just in school, but the next picture is going to show you Gideon's church. It looks slightly different than your church, but I'm going to be working with Sunday school teachers and ministers who are going to help Gideon learn what it means to follow Jesus. Because whenever we learn about following Jesus here in Northern Ireland, boys and girls all over the world are learning to follow Jesus as well. Pamela's going to come now and tell a little bit about Malawi and what we'll be doing in helping folks learn about Jesus.
Great, thanks, Steve. I think Michael's going to keep moving the slides on, so hopefully you'll see some pictures in a little moment. As David has said, we're going out and we're going to be spending time working with Scripture Union Malawi. And if we could, is the next? Yeah, that's it. Brilliant. So Malawi, the tourist slogan actually for Malawi is the warm heart of Africa. And as I've already expressed, I am looking forward to that sunshine. But it's more than just warm weather. I would say that the people of Malawi and the culture indeed is very warm and welcoming and hospitable. And indeed, people's hearts are very warm and open to the gospel and to the good news of Jesus. It's quite different to our culture here, where people are quite against God and against the things of his word, and whereas in Malawi people there is a real openness to God, and so it's a very different environment to work and to minister. As we said earlier, we're going out as PCI missionaries to work with Scripture Union Malawi, and although David and I have had a very long-standing relationship and connection with Malawi, we didn't just go into assembly buildings in Belfast and announce that we were going back to Malawi. It's been a long process. We went through lots of different interviews. But before even that, it was actually Scripture Union who invited somebody to come out and to work alongside them. And so that's very much how the Presbyterian Church works. They work in partnership with churches and organisations across the world, and they only send out personnel at the invitation of their partners. We don't enforce ourselves upon anybody. It's very much at the invitation of the church or the community there. So we're going to be going out, as David's already said, in 24 days' time, because I do count days. So we've still got lots to do, but yeah, hopefully it'll all get done. Over the next few minutes, I just wanted to give you a small snapshot of the church in Malawi to help you understand the context in which we're going to be working. As David has already shown by sharing a little bit about Gideon, life in Malawi is very different. One of the major challenges and difficulties is in terms of resources. There are very few resources in Malawi in terms of different levels. So when I talk about resources, Malawi is an exceptionally poor country. It's estimated that out of the 16 million population, that 90% of the 16 million live on £1.25 every day. So if you can imagine, that's about £12 a week. So if you can imagine feeding yourself and your family of four to maybe eight kids on about £12 a week, I know that I would struggle. And so this level of poverty has a massive impact on all areas of life. It impacts family life, it impacts education, it impacts medical care, and it also then impacts business and the government. And obviously then it impacts the church. So the church really struggles in terms of finances, in terms of provision to support pastors and ministers, and indeed even to train pastors and ministers. And that's one major area that is really lacking at the moment. Now, we are really thankful that actually through PCI we are able to send out some missionaries to be involved in theological education in Malawi, but there is still a massive, massive need. As you can imagine, the population here in Northern Ireland is about 1.5 million, and so there's almost 16 million people in Malawi, and yet there are probably less ministers working there. And so there's just a great need and a great lack of good training. So oftentimes the ministers and the pastors and the elders in different denominations just don't have the training and support that they need. And so therefore they're not able to take care of folks in their congregation as best as they can. And so that's where Scripture Union does seek to work alongside churches, equipping and training and encouraging ministers, and then also encouraging the members of their churches. Another area of great concern or a challenge in Malawi is the whole area of conversions but little discipleship. So what do I mean by that? Very simply, in the years that I spent working there and working with young people and students, many times I would meet these young people and they would share how each week they would go to a church meeting or a Bible meeting, and each week they were giving their heart to Jesus. But that's all they ever seemed to do. They heard the good news of Jesus. They heard the gospel, but yet they never seem to grow. I think of them as almost like baby Christians. No one ever showed them or encouraged them that they needed to mature and to grow in their understanding of God's word and what it means to live for Jesus every single day in their lives. And in the Bible passage that Stephen read, you know, the Great Commission, Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples. He didn't say go and make lots of converts. And so the church in Malawi is often filled with folks who do have a faith. It's very simple, and that's great. But we, as Scripture Union, really wants to see people's faith grow and mature and develop so that they can really then impact their country. Because of this lack of discipleship, there is a real strong sense of a cultural Christianity. And that's one of the last real major challenges for the church in Malawi, is that many, many people go to church regularly. And yet in this country, so over 75% of people would say that they're Christians. And yet in this country, there is rife corruption at every level of business and government. There is a great amount of folks who are suffering from HIV and AIDS. It's approximately 1.5 million people are infected with HIV and AIDS, and that's mostly through sexual immorality. There's a lack of integrity amongst church leaders. And so there are many, many challenges that the church faces. But all hope is not lost, because God is at work there. And there are many men and women who are really wanting to know and love and follow Jesus Christ. And that's where the work of Scripture Union comes in more and more. The aim or the vision of Scripture Union, which you'll see in the screen, is to see children and youth and families of Malawi truly following Jesus Christ, filled with hope for an eternal hope in Jesus Christ, and then transforming the nation. Scripture Union Malawi doesn't simply want to make people live in a little Christian bubble. They want to really encourage folks to understand what God's word says, and for that to then be lived out in their day-to-day lives. Not all folks will be working for Scripture Union Malawi. They'll be teachers, or they'll be working in the market or in their fields, or just simply taking care of their families, whatever they might be doing. And we want to see people really living for Jesus wherever Jesus has called them to be, and to see them bringing real transformation, bringing truth and grace into that country. David and I will be going out to work alongside Amon Chinika. Amon is the National Director of Scripture Union Malawi and has been in that role for several years. So Dave and I are not going out to suddenly be running an organization. Amon is going to be our boss, and he'll be leading and guiding us in the areas that we need to work in. And the main areas that we are going to be working in is, as David already said, he's going to be the ministry's coordinator. And what that simply means is that he's going to be overseeing all the different types of ministry that Scripture Union does. One of the main areas is Bible clubs. Now, because of poverty levels within Malawi, the government is only able to guarantee primary education for every single child. So it doesn't matter who you are or where you live, the government will provide some primary education for you. But after that, you have to pay for any secondary education. Now, in some areas, it's a very small amount, but if you're only living on £1.25, the chances are that in a rural area, you're probably not going to go to secondary school. So over the last 30 years or so, Scripture Union has focused on working in primary schools, and they do that by running Bible clubs, which are run mainly by volunteers. At the moment, there are only about 7 Scripture Union staff members, so they obviously can't go out to all the different schools, so they really do rely on many volunteers. And so David is going to be working very much at looking at what the staff are doing with the volunteers, but also encouraging and getting these volunteers together to really support them and train them and give them some new tools in reaching out to the kids in their Bible clubs. Many of these clubs then go to camps. And you'll see a picture of some kids. I think they won a scripture cup or something at camp. Very excited about that. And many of these clubs in the schools, they try to take their kids away. And I know for some of you folks here, perhaps yourself or even your children have been to Scripture Union camps, or even as an adult, you maybe have been to a Christian conference. And I think when we get the opportunity to leave our day-to-day life and to go away and to hear some good Bible teaching and have fellowship with others, we really do grow in our Christian lives. And so we see the camps and conference centres as being really important for the development of this camp ministry. And so, as David said, he will be involved in overseeing the development, especially of Candy Camp and Conference Centre. Now, there are a number of Presbyterian churches that have been involved in the camp centre there, and so we're hoping and praying that in the next year or so that conference centre will be completed. And this will also then be a way in which we can generate some funds and income for the organisation as other agencies rent it out. The main area of work that I'm going to be involved in is more the Bible literature side of things. Now, as I said earlier, you know, Malawi is exceptionally poor, and so the resources on lots of different levels are very inadequate. And, you know, for you or I, we can just, if we want a Christian book on a different topic, or if we want something to help us to understand the Bible, well, we can maybe go onto the internet, or we can go to the local Christian bookshop. For most Malawians, that's not really an option. And so Scripture Union have been working for many years to provide materials to help members of congregations really understand and know the Bible a little bit better. And so they have been providing materials like daily Bible reading notes and then some Bible study work books as well. And one of the other areas that they've been working in is going into different churches and providing Bible reading promotion seminars. Now, for many of us, we all probably have a Bible or maybe many Bibles in our homes. And we've grown up reading books and reading the Bible and understanding more of how God wants us to live. In Malawi, many folks until recent years perhaps didn't even own a Bible, but more and more people are having access to God's word, but yet they don't necessarily know how to read it and how to understand it. And so we go into churches to encourage and just offer a little bit of training and support to different folks on how to best read the Bible and to understand it for themselves. Obviously, they come to church and they hear God's word preached, but it's really good for us all, not just Malawians, for us all to be reading God's word and understanding it and just grappling with what God is saying to us personally as well. The final area that I'm going to be working in is looking at translation. Now, as we've already said, I don't speak Chichewa, so I'm not going to be translating things, but I'll be working with the team looking at the content of different Bible study materials and seeing ways in which we can maybe even work with other organizations to provide books or small booklets or resources that can be affordable for Malawians across the whole country, but in their own language. Because as you know, when we pick up a book here, the examples, maybe if you're reading a book that's been written by an American author, sometimes things don't really match up with our experience in life because perhaps we've not been to America. And the same for Malawi. Malawi is such a different country, so it's important that we can provide materials that are very relevant to their culture. Dave.
Okay, our time has gone. Let me finish. We've shared a lot with you tonight about Malawi, but let's move to God's word as we finish. And Michael, we'll just hold it on the screen, if that's okay. We read the Great Commission earlier. Last words are important. Whenever we think of our culture and how we interact with people, final words are very poignant. Whether it's the final words of someone before they pass into eternity, whether it's the final words that someone writes to us on a card before we go away or something like that, the final words of a letter. Final words are important. Well, here in Matthew's Gospel, we have the final words of Jesus Christ to his followers here on earth. Before he returns to heaven, he says to his disciples, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Why do we go overseas? We go overseas because the heart of God is for the world. The heart of God isn't just for one particular little patch and one particular little island and one particular little people group or community. God's vision is Revelation 7. Of drawing the nations to himself, so that on that final day, when we gather as his people in his presence, we will be there with those of every language, every tribe, every nation, gathering around the throne and singing to the Lamb, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb." This is God's vision for drawing the world to himself. And what Jesus does in Matthew 28, he invites us to be part of that. So when Jesus says, go into all nations and make disciples, this is something that we need to take seriously if we profess and proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Even before the church was born, Jesus is telling his followers, your job is now to do everything that I have done and go out into the world and do it. So whenever you look in the gospel accounts of the 3 years of Jesus, he taught, he healed, and he did miracles. He gathered around him 12 followers and others who supported them. They shared life with him. They had meals together. They traveled from Jerusalem to Galilee together. There are accounts that happened that we don't have in Scripture, but they must have had more meals than what we read. They must have had more conversations. So Jesus shared life in such a way that his followers would be prepared for what was next, which was to go to all nations and make disciples. Pamela raised a very strong point. Conversion is widespread in Malawi, and that is fantastic. But disciple making barely exists. You see, it's quite easy to say, yes, I follow Jesus. But it is quite a different thing to become a disciple of Jesus. Because a disciple means that we forgo ourselves and we follow a teacher. That's what Jesus was doing. He was the teacher or the rabbi to these group of 12 men who were gathered around him. And he taught them so well that we read the accounts in the Acts of the Apostles of how the church grew and flourished. Folks, Jesus' last words weren't to just 12 men. They are to every single person who believes in Jesus Christ. From the girls and boys who go to school, if they are trusting in Jesus, they are to be disciple makers. For our teenagers and young people who are in secondary school and university and adolescents, they are to be disciple makers. The teacher, the fisherman, the farmer, the lollipop person, the fire person, the police person, the housewife, the stay-at-home mum, the stay-at-home dad, the retired, those in their golden years. We are all called to be disciple makers. We don't need a theological education. We don't need any great secret knowledge of how to do this. We simply share the joy of Jesus Christ, because that's what the 12 disciples did. And the church grew at a phenomenal rate because they saw what it meant to follow Jesus. Whenever we go to Malawi, yes, we have jobs, but we will be doing exactly the same thing that we've been doing here in Northern Ireland. We will be going to make disciples, to grow in our own discipleship, but to go and share the news of Jesus Christ to those we come into contact with. It just so happens that he is calling us to do that through Scripture Union. What about you? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ who now sees this and wants to take it seriously? That it's just not the reserve of a minister or your elders to do this work, but Jesus tells us that it is for everyone who follows him. And look at what he says at the very end. He says, you're not on your own. It's not some big, scary program. It happens in the natural ways of life. He says, surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Friends, there's nothing to fear. The kingdom is set. The place is prepared. The time is short. Let's go and make disciples so that this world can rejoice in the greatest news that the world has ever heard. The truth that Jesus saves, and present to them the power of the gospel that transforms lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.